T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com. It's brought to you by Bud Light, official sponsor of the Miami Dolphins this football season. Keep it crisp with Bud Light. Please drink responsibly. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Boy, a lot of Bud Light's going to be consumed trying to watch the Dolphins this year, huh?
That is correct, sir. That is correct.
Hey,
responsibly.
Yeah. Right, right. Please drink responsibly. Right, right.
Hey, Mike, I want to ask you. I saw an article that the league, after the season's over, might step in. So nobody else tries what the Dolphins are doing with this rebuild, that the way they're losing by so much, if it continues this way, do you think the league says, hey, not a good look for the other 31 teams, or what are your thoughts?
Well, it's not a good look, but there's nothing the league can do about it. What would the league do? And I think the league is reluctant to acknowledge that tanking is even a temptation in the NFL. The great disconnect for the NFL, at the end of every season when teams are no longer alive for playoff berths, they're supposedly doing everything they can to win as many games as possible because it's about the integrity of the game. Meanwhile, you're rewarded for being bad. The worse you are, the higher you climb in the standings. This is the first time we've seen a team turn that into a full-season NBA-style trust-the-process tank job. But
right.
The problem for the NFL is they don't want to acknowledge. You don't want to start down that path of even considering that teams are doing anything other than trying to win every single game they play. Best example of why the NFL doesn't want to even acknowledge the temptation to tank is the fact that the NFL doesn't have a draft lottery. Think of how big a draft lottery would be for the NFL.
Oh my
goodness. It would be another off-season tentpole event. They would move it from city to city, put it in one of the cities that has the best chance of getting the first overall pick, and it would be the top news story, and the NFL would continue to dominate all the other sports in America. But they don't want to go down that path because they don't want to do anything that would represent an acknowledgement that, you know what, in December, once you know your team's not going to make it to the playoffs, it probably is good to lose. And when you stretch it out and extrapolate it to a full season, where Stephen Ross has said, we could have tried to address a few holes and go 9-7 and make it to the playoffs, but that's not what we want to do. We want to compete for Super Bowls. So, look, I don't know how you legislate against it, and if you're the NFL, you don't want to acknowledge that Pandora's box is open. So I don't know what the NFL could do or would do, because to do anything, they'd have to admit that there's a temptation to tank, and historically, they've refused to do that.
Mike, they're not going to change that draft system. The 3 days have been very popular in every city, and the ratings keep going up. They are not going to change that. Do you agree?
Well, what would you change it to?
Well, I mean, to go to an NBA style.
But still, if you do a lottery, you still have to do the draft. You do an NBA style to determine the draft order, and then you have the draft. So I think it would enhance the draft. There is every reason for the NFL to have a draft lottery with weighted balls based upon how bad you are, and it's not a lock that if you're the worst team, you're going to get the first overall pick. But it just acknowledges that there is an incentive to sink. That's what the NFL has now. Is a firewall between doing everything you can to win football games from September to December and, hey, look at this, here's the draft order, and it's great to have the highest possible pick. And there's never an acknowledgement of how the team got the highest possible pick. And so my broader point is this, there's nothing they can do.
Right.
So I think they'll do nothing.
I think the only lottery they should do this year is if either give the Dolphins the first, second, and third pick in the draft, or just let it go with 1, 11, and like 22, which it might end up with anyway. The Pittsburgh trade, by the way, for Minka, that was good because of the fact that Pittsburgh might stink, right? Is that's the whole point of that, to try to get a top 5 pick there?
Yeah, and I don't know why the Steelers did it, because if they stink, they get themselves in a position to draft a quarterback who would be the heir to Ben Roethlisberger, although maybe they have him in Mason Rudolph. Mason Rudolph actually looked better last week running the offense than Ben did. And, you know, I don't know what the future holds for Roethlisberger. Everybody's saying all the right things now. Oh, we expect to be back next year. He'll be fine. He's not exactly the kind of avocado ice cream eating pliability expert like Tom Brady, who's going to do everything he can to play as deep into his 40s as possible. This is a guy who rolls off the couch. He told Chris Sims in an interview at training camp He really doesn't do much of anything by way of throwing the football in the offseason, and his body's starting to break down.
Yeah.
So you get through not even two regular season games, a game and a half, and your elbow revolts against you. What's going to happen next year? Is it going to be a calf muscle? Is it going to be an Achilles? Is it going to be a quad? Is it going to be a back? I mean, what's it going to be? But once this starts to happen, that's when Father Time is in the process of whacking him over the head with that big giant clock. And, you know, I don't think we can rule out the possibility that, Ben is at the end or maybe very close to it.
All right. We got to have a week with Antonio Brown. What's your thoughts on this latest group text that was sent out? A little intimidation to the lady. How serious can this be, Mike?
Well, the Patriots need to fire him. And I practiced employment law for years, and when you would have an investigation in the workplace where one employee makes an accusation against the other, if there's any type of retaliation or intimidation by the person who's accused, they're gone. And the NFL, through the personal conduct policy, has expanded the workplace to include the entire world now, because if you violate the personal conduct policy anywhere, on the clock, off the clock, in season, out of season, on company time, on your own time, in the country, out of the country, if you violate the personal conduct policy, you're subject to discipline. And what Antonio Brown was trying to do here, he wasn't retaliating against somebody who has made an official complaint of misconduct. He was retaliating and intimidating someone who could be making an official claim of misconduct, which makes it even more sinister. He's trying to shout her down. He's trying to scare her away from actually saying to the NFL, this guy did something to me inappropriate, or filing a lawsuit, or going to the police, or taking advantage of any of the avenues that are available to her. And I think that, and look, we don't know what the NFL found out in 10 hours of interviewing Brittany Taylor, the woman who's accused Antonio Brown of sexual assault and rape in a civil lawsuit. 10 hours, though, tells me that they got a lot of information from her. Whether they believe it or not remains to be seen. But you throw this on top of it, and it's a horrible look for the league. It's a horrible look for the Patriots. And I won't be surprised if by the end of the day, he's either on a commissioner exempt list or cut by the Patriots, or
how about,
both.
How about
wow.
How about at the end
another
of the day
story.
With his lawyer, too, on that group text
oh,
message?
Oh, how bad is that for
that's
that
not
guy.
A good look for Heitner, well, right?
Well, I just because you call yourself a sports lawyer doesn't make you an expert in all the nuances of the various legal issues that may come up for an athlete. I mean, it's kind of ludicrous when you think about it. It's like saying I'm a car salesman lawyer. I mean, car salesmen have the whole gamut of legal issues. They need wills. They get into car accidents. They get sued. They sue people for business transactions. They have a sexual harassment plan. These are very specific niche areas of the law. And to hold yourself out as a sports lawyer does not mean you know a damn thing about how to properly handle situations like this. And I was alarmed, and I think it's even more alarming that Antonio Brown thinks it's okay. The nonchalance of this, to send these group text messages, which include the accuser and his own lawyer, it just tells me the guy is clueless. He's got no compass as to what's right or wrong or what he should or shouldn't be doing. And I've said this several times about Antonio Brown in the past week or two. Behind that smile, there's some stuff going on there, and we've become more and more aware of it. And this is just really, in the grand scheme of things, a recent development, the last 13 or 14 months, where that facade has been peeled back. And there's a bad guy floating around in there, and we're getting more and more evidence of it. It's evidence of it all the time.
Peeling back the layers of the onion,
ooh,
right?
Man,
that's what's happening right
bad
now.
Bad stuff. What do we do with Eli Manning? Stay in? Does he stay and back this kid up and be a good soldier? What happens?
Well, I look at it this way. If the Giants had done the right thing and made Daniel Jones the week one starter, because by making him the week three starter, they're essentially admitting we should have made him the week one starter. If they made that decision 2 weeks ago, you're looking at paying $11.5 million in base salary to a backup quarterback. And that salary becomes fully guaranteed week one if you're a vested veteran with four or more years of service. It's the termination provision pay of the CBA. Eli Manning would have been entitled to all that money, and he is now. He's entitled to all of it if they cut him. I still think they need to just move on from him, whether it's a trade where they pay part of the salary,
right,
whether they just cut him and bite the bullet, whether he retires. I don't know. And, you know, it's amazing to me how divergent the opinions are on this topic, because people think that the Giants owe it to him or something like that. That's how they got this problem in the first place. They don't owe this guy anything. They have cut countless guys who were part of their two Super Bowl teams. In fact, Eli's probably the only one left right? At some point, you got to pull the Band-Aid all the way off. And right now they're walking around with a Band-Aid that is half off and half on, right? Because it hurt to pull off half of it, and they don't want to go through the pain right now of pulling off the other half. So they're just going to let it dangle for a while. That's not good for anybody. It's not good for Daniel Jones. And you know what's going to happen? They're going to continue to stink because they don't have anything by way of talent, especially defensively. And the Giants are going to get pushed into putting Eli back on the field at some point in December to let him go out playing like Joe Montana from San Francisco in 1991. And I think it's better off just not have the guy around, right? If Daniel Jones struggles, is it going to be a whisper campaign against Daniel Jones or the other Manning's going to get involved? I think it's better off just to move on from Eli Manning and go all in with Daniel Jones like they should have done before the season even started.
All right, real quickly, Jalen Ramsey. Is he traded this week? Is he gone? Or they've got to be getting some sweet deals offered to him.
Well, they shouldn't trade him. They should acknowledge he's the best cornerback in the game. They should make him happy. They should pay him. There's a way to salvage it with a big, giant bag of money. And if they would give it to him now, that may make him feel differently about whether or not he wants to leave. It's how he's treated. It's how he's regarded by the team that has him wanting out. If they are going to trade, they're in a great spot because think about it. If whether it's the Patriots or the Chiefs or the Seahawks or the Rams, any elite team that is thinking about making this trade, there's value not just in getting him, but in keeping him away from somebody you're going to be competing with to get to the Super Bowl. If the Chiefs are thinking about getting him, hey, we're keeping away from the Patriots. And you know how the Patriots are. They'll swoop in out of the blue, unnoticed, undetected. They'd be keeping him away from the Chiefs. The Cowboys, would they get involved? Well, you know what? If the Eagles are thinking about signing him, it almost reminds me of, even though it wasn't a great free agency signing, remember when Nnamdi Asamoah was a free agent in 2011 and all those teams were lining up?
Right.
And all of a sudden, here come the Eagles and they got the deal done and no one saw it coming. I feel like there's somebody out there who is keeping their mouth shut, and they acknowledge the value in getting this guy because we have him and our opponents don't. And that makes me think they're going to be able to get what they want in Jacksonville if they decide to go ahead and go through with this trade.
Mike, thank you.
You were strong.
Always,
Mike, you were very strong today. Even your tone of voice was outstanding. Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, you're being graded.
All right, guys. Take care.
See you, Mike. Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com, brought to you by Bud Light, official sponsor of the Miami Dolphins. This football season, keep it crisp with Bud Light. Please drink responsibly.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.